Welcome to Cross Cult Church Tuesday Noonday Bible Study. We welcome all on the podcast today and all who are in attendance with us today. We pray that all had a festive, peaceful, and joyous Thanksgiving celebration with their families. And we are thanking God that we're back on track today and ready to go. We're in Revelation 6, chapter 6, and we will begin at 7 and 8. Before we start our study, let us go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, O God, for another day that we can come and assemble and hear your word, O God, and be taught by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that all who are listening today will get clear understanding of your word, O God. I pray, O God, for those who are on their way to this study, that you will dispense your angels around them and traveling grace for them, O God. We thank you, O God, for this day. We thank you for this house. We thank you for the shepherd of this house in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you continue to bless him and give him revelation and knowledge. Lord, we just thank you again and again and again for who you are to us in the name of Jesus. Be glorified today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we will begin in verses, I think, we stopped at chapter 6, verse 6 last gathering. So we will pick up down today, chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. And and we'll ask someone to read verse 7 and 8, please, for us. Sister McLemore is finding the verses right now. So we'll give her a minute.
Revelation 6, 7.
No, yes.
This is the New King James Version. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth.
Mm-hmm. So now we're at the fourth seal. The fourth seal is representative of the pale horse, which, as we referenced in the last session, that the church had lost its power, to get the gospel out. They had become so engrossed in, involved in pagan religions and other things, and they had moved away from the gospel. So the pale horse, is symbolic of the dead church. The pale horse is a color of nausea and death. The church that should have been pointing the way to eternal life was instead spreading death. Mm-hmm. And what we mean death is that they were not spreading the gospel. They were engaged in other pagan practices and religion. So therefore, if they're not spreading the gospel, which is truth and grace, then they are spreading death. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So that's what the scripture is telling us here. And hell. So they were spreading death and hell. And the grave followed with them. So, you know, when you are death, there's the grave that follows after you. The spiritual death, not literally physical death, but when you are away from the Word of God and not in the Word of God, you're in a spiritual death. that so this spiritual death that the people were in at this time spread across Christendom, and was accompanied by a moral and intellectual paralysis. What we mean by that they were immoral, they were immoral, and they were just so caught up into sinful practices that they were paralyzed in it. And this is the church. So if we look today, and can we see many who are paralyzed today, who are unbelievers, are paralyzed because they don't know truth. And so we have some in the church who are paralyzed by idiosyncrasies and ideologies, which people are spreading in the church, such as God is love. So, yes, God is love, and he loves all. And so this just gives many people who are teaching that God is love. So, you know, you can go ahead and do what you want to because God loves you, and he'll forgive you. So where is the transformation? So therefore, we have this universal concept that God is love, and that because he loves, that whatever we engage in, you know, we can just go ahead because God knows that we are this way and he just loves us. However, the scripture in John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that the whosoever believeth. So you have to believe that God is love, and God is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment and justice. 1 John 1:9 tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So yes, God is love, but that love does have, he loves us unconditionally, but there are some requirements that he asks of us. Not because he won't love us any less, but for you to understand how much he loves you. So the Holy Scriptures at this time, during this time of Christendom, the Holy Scriptures were forbidden to the people. Nobles and commoners and clergy alike were largely ignorant of the great truths that they contained. During this time, this was a time where the rule was that there was the Christendom could not, any of the Word of God could not be spoken or spread. We are in this day coming very closely. Well, in many countries, you can't preach the gospel, so there you are. But let's take a look at America. Today in America, the forces are closing in on preachers and teachers teaching the Bible, the true Bible, because there are so many other doctrines out there, and even doctrines that subscribe to Holy Scriptures. But in practice, in theory, it's diametrically opposed to it. So here we have people who were largely ignorant of the great truths, and they were forbidden. For centuries, the Christian world made no progress in science, art, or civilizations. Millions lived miserable lives of ignorance and squander. There are many Eastern Bloc countries that we can look at in this same vein. The gospel, Christian gospel teachings are forbidden in many parts of the Eastern Bloc countries, and the people are there's no progression in anything in those countries because they're under control of authoritarian dictators, and they are and there is no they are forbidden to teach anything other than the doctrine of the state. So we have that right now. And so we got today. We have millions of people in ignorance of truth and grace and of the true and living God, And they're living in squander. There are many people like that today. When we look at the African countries, we still got famine and disease and so forth, because many of those countries are under control of colonialism and those sorts of strongholds that are on them. So people today are really, when we look at it, we in America, and we think how great, you know, how great America is, and that we can still hear the gospel, or we can still practice our religion. That is true. However, there are many, I would think if we look around, how much is coming in America of enlightenment, of New Ageism, and other doctrines that are not of God, that many people are embracing today. Many what we call intellectual people, people with power and knowledge, you know. There are people who are bragging atheists, you know. They have a great movement of atheists and agnostics. So here we are in America, where we can come and at this still light today, study the word and get understanding. So we need to really thank God for where we are today, that we are able.
Amen.
We are able to assemble yet still and encourage and edify each other, reading this Holy Scriptures, getting understanding how blessed we are. And with that, we have a responsibility as believers to take what we know of truth and grace to others. And in this country, where the motto always reigned, "In God we trust," has become a past tense. So we have a responsibility. And as we approach 2019, we need to be very mindful of the grace that God has dispensed and given upon us, and be thankful. And think seriously, not just necessarily people in other countries where they are under dictatorship and under constraints and so forth, but here in our own country, we have people who are really still ignorant and they squalor because they don't have the word, and they're into belief systems that money and power is great. So let's move on. In Ezekiel 14:21, it talks about the war, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts as judgments on apostasy from God. It tells us, it clearly gives us that from God that these things come. Wherever the church takes up the sword to coerce the conscience, a famine of God's word results. What we mean of that is when people take up a mindset to alter or default from the word of God, a famine of the word results. In other words, we have many people today in the Christian faith who are preaching practices of self-gratification, self-aggrandizement, that God is a God of love and blessings and mercy and so forth, but he's also a God of justice. He's also a God of justice. Did you want to read, Sister Lackmore, from Ezekiel? I see you found it.
Yes.
Yes.
14:21.
Mm-hmm.
For thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword and famine and wild beast and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it.
Mm-hmm. So he spoke that in Ezekiel. We're now in Revelation, and 8 tells us that and the power was given to them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword and hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So God had already said that in Ezekiel, and he always tells us before what he's going to do. So we see it very clearly. So what we have is that pure, at that time, pure Bible truth is replaced with the pestilence of heresy. Mm. And that's what we have too often in American Christian communities, okay, that we have the truth replaced with heresy. With heresy. Where the things that God says are an abomination to him are embraced in many communities, Christian communities, as not being sin, because God is love. Okay, so when we have the truth replaced with the pestilence of heresy, this is opening the way for persecutors, which in this sense are the wild beasts, persecutors, not beasts literally. We're talking about persecutors to punish and chastise the church. And so what happens is, what will happen if we continue to allow this heresy to continue, then the beasts will, who are the persecutors, will grow more in number and power and punish and chastise the church. For instance, there is a growing movement in America of relevancy, and this opens the door to anyone's beliefs that everything is relevant, and if it's good for you and you don't hurt anybody else, it's good. So what we have now is that if we have steadfast preachers and teachers of the faith who will teach against the cultural so-called norms today, they will be punished. They will be punished. And it is coming. And we, when we talk about punishment, I don't want to have our minds drawn completely to physical warfare, sort of. But we have a new method of breaking down a person's reputation and their character called shaming.
Mm.
And So this shaming method by social media and digital can be more quicker, more damage and harm than what we saw with word of mouth many years ago. So when we the believers continue to allow the replacement of the gospel and the persistence of heresy, we will open the doors and the floodgates for the beast, the persecutors, to come. So let us look at, let's go now to 9 and 11. And I'm reading from the King James. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And I'm going to read to 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now the fifth seal, the martyred church, this is what these three scriptures, 9, 10, and 11 are describing, the martyred church. Under the altar, the souls slain for the word of God. See, in apocalyptic language, which teaches lessons and truths in pictures or symbols, and this is what the language of 9 and 10 is giving us, a picture and symbols of the martyred church. Now, God does not keep literal souls under a literal altar in heaven. However, during the Middle Ages, the papal system, and this is a time where the papal system, the Roman Church, ruled. Catholicism was the universal religion of the time. And so that's why the gospel and truth was being squashed, because of the Roman Church, having the power of the universal religion. So we say, so this was during the, and all this is during the Middle Ages. The papal system had millions of people put to death. There's a timeline of bloody history of papal Rome oppression of Protestants, back all the way from Henry the Seventh and so forth, when the Church of Catholicism was, and it was when the Protestant movement started to emerge in England, is where we're talking now about the many deaths. Many people departed from Catholicism and moved into this movement of Protestantism that was teaching that there is only one way back to God, and that's through Christ Jesus. That there was no need for a priest anymore, because when Christ died, the veil was split. And so this caused a revolution of many, many Christians to be put to death who opposed. And because they would not renounce Bible truth, they would not renounce that there was that Jesus was not the Son of God, and that He was the way, the Redeemer, the way back to God for the forgiveness of sins through the belief in Christ Jesus. They would not renounce that. So that caused them there. And now, when we look at this, here is pictured a symbolic language that the many martyrs of all ages, whose blood, like the blood of Abel, we see in Genesis, cries out to God for justice and vindication of the truths for which they died. The Bible teaches that the dead in Christ rise and put on immortality when He returns. And we'll find that in 1 Corinthians. So what we see here, that back in the Middle Ages, I mean, and on through the emergence of Christendom, many people died because of the faith. When we talk about martyrs, there were many, 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 many martyrs who died because of the faith. There are people, even today, in countries there where Christendom is not is forbidden, and people who have come into the faith, who are found out in countries such as Islamic countries, they are put to death. There are people in other countries where they are just murdered in such heinous ways because of the faith. So today, let us thank God that we can hear,
amen,
and receive, and let us take hold to this profession of faith, and let us pray that we walk in the spirit of boldness and not in being intimidated when God prevents an opportunity for us to share the faith, the gospel. So we will pick up next week in chapter 6, starting in 12 and 13. And we will end, and we'll ask Sister McLemore to end us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful gathering this morning. Thank you, Lord, that this is a season of thanksgiving. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We honor you and we love you. And thank you for teaching us and enlightening us all the more what things we need to be mindful of in this day that we are living in. So many things happening, Father. Help us stay focused on those things that are important, that are worthy of our emotions, as Pastor mentioned on Sunday. Let us not use our energies for things that are for naught. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being able to receive your word in this nation still and in this community. And may more people be enlightened and avail themselves to your word. And we thank you for this word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You did.